You are now listening to the First Baptist Church of America's podcast. If you have any questions about our church, please check us out online at fbcamericas.org. This week we continue our journey through John's Gospel as Brother Keith preaches a message, Choosing to Remain in Jesus, from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. Let's listen in.
Amen. Aren't you glad to live in the United States of America? I am. I wouldn't want to live any other place. And I think on this Sunday before July the 4th, that it would be appropriate that we pray together for our nation, that we would be one nation under God. And so would you join me as I lead us in prayer? Father, in the quietness of this moment, of this time of worship, we thank you. Because you are the giver of every good gift. And so we thank you for the gift of our nation, of our country. We are indeed thankful. And Lord, our prayer is that you would help us to come together, that we would seek your truth more than we seek our own. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our leaders, regardless of party. But Lord, would you strengthen our leaders so that they would lead well? And as we come to pray for our nation, Lord, I pray for our church, that you would help us to grow in our knowledge of who you are and our knowledge of who we are and what you have done for us through Jesus. Thank you for your grace. And your mercy. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word and the preaching of it and help us to apply all of it to our lives so that not only this church would be a better church, but this nation would be a better nation because we are following your ways. And all of this, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank Rusty for preaching last Sunday as we were away at St. Augustine. 30 of us gathering in St. Augustine, our family. And you know, if you want to meet with a family and your family to grow together, what do you have to do? You have to be together. You have to actually physically get together. It's the same way with the church. We have to physically get together. This passage this morning I used for the text for the sermon last year at the Friendship Camp Day, thinking about us being together and our fellowship. So if you keep sermon notes, you'll have some of what I'll say already in the margin of your Bible. But Jesus is giving his disciples a mental image of what the Christian life looks like. What the Christian life really is, and it looks like a living grapevine. Not a dead grapevine, but it's a living, thriving grapevine. And the stem grows down into the earth, and the branches are united to the stem and stay alive for the purpose of producing fruit. And that's a picture of Christianity. And this parable that Jesus uses to teach, he's teaching about our dependency on him. We are totally dependent on him. So the parable itself is in verses 1 through 8, and then the explanation of it is verses 9 through 17. But the primary truth of this parable is this: a true disciple must remain in the true vine, Jesus Christ. Must. Remaining in Christ is a two-way connection, and it requires Jesus to act, and it requires us to act. Now, 2 weeks ago, I stated this, and it's worth repeating. Jesus is talking about fellowship and growth here. He's not talking about salvation. Salvation is by the grace of God through the faith that we have in his Son Jesus, and nothing else. Salvation has nothing to do with our effort because it's a gift of God through faith in Jesus. But Our continuing growth is determined by our desire and our effort to follow the ways of Jesus. That's growth. It's determined by our desire and effort. Lloyd John Ogilvie was a longtime chaplain of the U.S. Senate, and I think he died earlier this month, but he said this: without God, we can't. Without us, he won't. Think about that. Without God, we can't. Without us, he won't. It requires that two-way connection. If you have a newer car, you may have something on that that's called lane assist. Mine doesn't have it. It's a little too old. Judy's has it. Some of yours has it. Lane assist. It helps keep you between the lines, the sideline and the center line. And for a little while, it will drive for you. Now, we may be headed to the day where the car does everything for you. It'll even brake for you if you get too close to the car in front of you. But after a while, and I was trying it coming back from St. Augustine, you just take your hand off the wheel, or you kind of keep it close, and it'll keep the car between the lines. But after a few seconds, it will flash up there and shake the wheel, steering required. Steering required. But it would take you for a while, but it also requires your effort, your part in this process of driving. But think about the two-way connection, Christ in me. Without him, we could do nothing. It's Christ in me. He will never leave me. He has promised us his Holy Spirit that will stay with us forever. But it's also me in Christ. And I tend to drift away. And you do too. We tend to drift. So we must choose to remain in him. The word remain or abide, as some of your translations may have, is used 11 times in these verses. So evidently Jesus wants us to know that remaining in him is a choice. So at the end of chapter 14, we talked about Jesus promising his Holy Spirit, which he gives to everyone who believes, and we'll talk more about that next week. But the effective work of his Holy Spirit through our lives is determined by our choice to obey Jesus, to abide in him. So we're invited to have the same kind of connection with Jesus that Jesus had with God. The same kind of connection. Now, we would all say that we want Jesus for protection. We want Jesus for blessings. We want Jesus for help when trouble comes. We want Jesus for eternal security. But we resist remaining in Jesus because of our pride and our selfish desires, and because somehow we think he will restrict us. The truth is, you and I, we want an easy Christianity. Now be honest. We want an easy Christianity, but little to no commitment equals little to no results. Any person who fails to remain in Christ is useless. Useless, just like an unproductive branch of a grapevine. It's useless. So remember the context here. Jesus is teaching his disciples just hours before his death. And chapter 14 ends with Jesus saying, "Come, let us leave." So we don't know for sure whether they left immediately, but I can imagine that they were leaving and possibly on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, that he saw a grapevine. Or maybe he passed by the temple and he saw the engravings of a grapevine on the temple itself. But he used this image of a grapevine to teach. And so the two main points that I want to point out today, the first is the evidence of remaining in Jesus. The evidence. What is the fruit of remaining in Jesus? And then secondly, how to actually do that. How do we remain in Jesus? So first of all, the evidence. of remaining in Jesus. Now, we're talking about fruit that we are to produce, that our lives produce, and that is evidence that we are truly connected to Jesus. And a growing Christian will produce fruit and do that in increasing measure. In verse 2, he talks about fruit, and then more fruit, and then eventually much fruit. So see the progression? And verse 8 says, true disciples will bear much fruit and do so to the Father's glory. It's never for our glory. Whatever fruit we produce is never for our glory, but always for the glory of God. So what is the fruit that's mentioned here? I want to point out four. Obedience. Look in verse 10. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. If you remember, that's what Jesus pointed out over and over and over in verse chapter 14. That if you love me, you will obey me. Obedience. Abiding in Christ requires obedience. And obedience requires love for God and his commands. Christians obey Jesus' commands just as he obeyed the Father's command. Remember, Jesus is our perfect example. So Jesus links our love for God with obedience. And he's saying, if you love me, then show me by obeying. In other words, show me by the way you live. If you love me, show me by how you live. So obedience is evidence that you are abiding in Jesus. Now, by the way, you don't do this. You don't. You might think you're doing great in obedience, but if you break just one command, you've broken all of them. That's what Scripture teaches us. So you don't do this, but you sure can desire to do it and strive to do it. Every one of us can do that. That with everything within us, we want to obey the commands of Jesus. And see, when you get to the point that you can admit that you don't do it, but that you want to do it, and Paul struggled with that. I know what to do, but I just can't do it. When you get to that point, then you begin to understand what grace is all about. Obedience is fruit. The second thing he mentions is joy. Look in verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus tells us here what the key to joy is. Verse 10, obedience, which results in remaining in his love. Notice that it's his joy in us that completes our joy. Joy is having his joy in us that makes our joy complete. Our joy comes from obedience, not in satisfying our desire to live any old way we want to, but true joy comes from obedience so that his joy is in us. So I'd say to you, make sure you are in Christ and then make sure you are remaining in Christ by the way you live. Joy is one of the fruits of a relationship with Jesus. And if you're living to please self, if you're looking for joy in the way you want to live and just doing things your own way, joy will be elusive to you. You'll seek it in all kinds of ways, in the wrong ways. And joy will be elusive. And you will end up only bitter. But doing things God's way will bring you joy as you follow Jesus. So joy is another evidence that you are abiding in Jesus. The third thing is love. Verse 12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And then also in verse 17, this is my command, love each other. We are to love the same way Christ loves us, unconditionally and completely. That's the new part of the command. The way Christ has loved us, we are to love each other. And notice there, it does say who this love is expressed to, each other, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That's where it starts. This is where it starts. And then it grows out from here to love others that we come in contact with. And it's through the body of Christ, His church, that we practice how to love. That's why we gather as a church. One of the reasons we come together so that we can practice how to love one another. But here's my question to you. How can one love or be loved in isolation from other Christians? How can you love or be loved if you are isolated from other Christians, refusing to participate in loving one another does not release us from the responsibility to love each other. Just because we don't show up, we think maybe we're released from that responsibility. No, we are responsible to follow the commands. I read an article 2 weeks ago on the drift away from church. People are just drifting away, and this writer said that when it comes to church, drift leads to distance, and distance leads to disconnection. Maybe you've seen it in your own life, or you've seen it in your family members or friends, people who distance themselves from church, and then all of a sudden it's easier to stay away from the church, and they find themselves disconnected from the church, and then isolation. But, you know, the point of coming together, the point of corporate worship and doing things together as a church is never about attendance, but it's about participation in the body of Christ, being part of His body and doing things that no other part of the body can do. So Christianity is not an individual endeavor. It's a corporate endeavor. And I think that's one of the reasons He chose this image, because grapes grow in clusters, and we gather in clusters of believers who are put together for the purpose of being fruitful. Notice that to love each other is a command. In verse 12 and verse 16, Jesus said, "This is my command, love each other." And again, how can we do that in isolation? Well, we can't. Love for other Christians is evidence that you are abiding in Jesus. Obedience, joy, love. But there's a fourth one here, verse 7, and that's effective prayer. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." And also in verse 16, the last part of that, "I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Now, Jesus says, "Remain in me that my words remain in you," and then "ask and it will be given." So we are to ask according to God's will, not mine, and we ask in the name of Jesus. And when we do that, our prayers are powerful. And they are effective. Now, this is not an invitation to use God like a genie in a bottle, to pray your selfish desires to get anything that you want. Remember, He's talking about abiding in Him for the purpose of bearing fruit, right? So what fruit are you missing in your life? Are you missing joy? Are you lacking joy? Ask God for it. And He'll be delighted to give it because it's fruit. Are you lacking peace? Ask God for it. Are you lacking love and obedience? Are you lacking wisdom? Ask Him for it, because when He gives that, as you are abiding in Him, you are bringing glory to God. So why would He withhold that from us? So what fruit are you missing? Ask Him, and He'll give this and so much more for the purpose of growing you. And as you remain in Jesus, then your prayers will begin to reflect God's will. And when that happens, you will be glorifying God. So an effective prayer life is evidence that you are abiding in Jesus. So, what does that mean? How do we actually do it? And that's the second point. How to actually remain in Jesus. I read a piece by Tim Keller who illustrates the spiritual life of many Christians. And he says that it's like someone trying to go up a down escalator. Now think about that. You're trying to go up a down escalator. That's not very efficient, is it? You work and you work and you work and you get nowhere. And what happens if you stop working? You go backwards. So that's not very efficient at all. Only by remaining in Jesus will the Christian life be efficient. And then your life will be like going up and up escalator. It will be working with you. Or walking on one of those moving sidewalks, you know, like at the airport. I love to walk on those things because it's moving. And then you get on there and you move and you look at the wall and it's like you're flying down the hallway until you get behind somebody who's put all their luggage right across the way and you can't get by. They're just on there for the ride. But if you walk on that thing, it's very efficient. Abiding in Jesus is the same way. The moving sidewalk is doing its part. You're doing your part and you are very efficient. So how do we really actually remain? Two things. Love His Word. You have to love the Word of God. Look again at verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Remaining in Christ means that you hold His Word in high regard, maybe higher than anything else, but you respect it and you hold it in high esteem. You know, it's one thing to read the Bible just for the history in it, and it's certainly full of history. It's another thing to read the Bible for the doctrinal information in it, and it's certainly there. It's another thing to read the Bible for inspiration. You may just need a moment of inspiration, but it is another thing completely to read the Bible so that it remains in you. You read it and you take it in, you dwell on it, you meditate on it to let it become a part of you. Why? To grow you. It's for the purpose of growing you. Now, I know, and you know, we don't like change, but we must be changed because God's Holy Spirit will not leave us as we are. If He were to leave us as we are, then that would assume that we're perfect. We have already been sanctified. No, He is not going to leave us as we are. He wants to move us toward Christ's likeness, and He does that as we dwell on His Word, and it dwells in us. I wore braces when I was in high school. And that was in the day that they looked like railroad tracks. And if you wore braces, you may have them now, you know you have to go in and get them tightened up. And the day after that adjustment, your mouth is just so painful. You can't even bite on anything. At least mine was like that. But that was necessary in order to bring alignment to the teeth. And that's the way it is with the Christian life. Sometimes we need to be adjusted. It's interesting that in the parable that Jesus gives here of the grapevine, that it's the good branch that is cut in order to make it more productive. The good branch is cut to make it more fruitful. He's given us His Word that we could know Him and that we could remain in Him. And how can we obey the commands of Jesus if we don't know them? Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Meditate on your Bible and do it. Do it. So love His Word. That's got to be in there. And then the second thing, how do you actually do it? Remember His love. Look at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Christianity is all about relationship. All about relationship. The eternal love of God is given to us through relationship with Jesus. And that relationship that we have in Jesus is passed on to other people. Christianity is fluid. So to remain in my love means to remember the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are unified by the cross of Christ in a way that we can't be unified in anything else. So remembering His love will help you deal with anything this world might throw at you. And this world can throw some nasty stuff. But if you remember His love, you can deal with it. The amazing truth is not just that He comes into our life, but He invites us into His life. The branch is in the stem. He invites us in. So if the gospel is true, if Jesus has indeed made you right with God, if God's love for you is real, if that's true, then remember His love and trust Him with the outcome of your circumstances. So love His word and remember His love. So as we close today, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Are you remaining in Jesus? If you are, you will be productive. You will be producing fruit that glorifies God. Now, if not, you might not be in the vine at all. Judas thought he was in the vine. He was not. Examine. Or, if you're not producing fruit, you might be out of season. Fruit comes in season. So you might be out of season. And it's time to reevaluate and then to produce. Our church exists to help people come to Jesus and to remain in Jesus. That's why we're here. And if you're looking for anything else from this church, you won't find it. That's why I'm here, to bring you to Jesus and to grow you up in Jesus. It's called making disciples. And that's the commission that Jesus gave us, to make disciples. He didn't say make converts or make believers. He said make disciples. So are you abiding in Jesus? Every week I get emails about how to revitalize your church. And for a limited time, you can get a 4-week study for $197. Take these 4 steps and you will revitalize your church. Regular price is $200. But if you follow those steps, your church will be revitalized. But I think, if we abide in Jesus, we will be in a continual state of revitalization. If we would just abide in Jesus, if we would listen to His word, if we would love His gospel, we would be abiding in Jesus, and the gates of hell would not prevail against us, as He's promised about His whole universal church. What are you hoping for in your Christian life? If it's not to abide in Christ, you are thinking a wrong way about what Christianity is all about. As you evaluate yourself, would you respond to Him? Maybe you're not in the vine. I would invite you to come and be a part of the vine. Maybe you want to join this fellowship, this cluster, so that you can produce fruit amongst all of these branches. Whatever the Lord is leading you to do, would you respond as we sing, "As the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you, the living God." 554 as we stand to sing.
Thank you for listening, and if you would like to know more about how you can choose to stay in Jesus, we would love to help you out with that. You can find our contact information on our website at fpcamericus.org. And tune in next week as we continue our journey through John's Gospel.